Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
It is the Every Day is Saturday show, and I am Sam Crowley. What do you know? Hey, it's great to have you back inside the Every Day is Saturday community champion. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the number one motivational podcast on the planet, making Every Day Saturday. No more Mondays for you. As a matter of fact, today it says on the calendar that it's in fact Monday. I hope that every day that ends in Y is your day, regardless if you're off to the J-O-B, the journey of the broke, jump out of bed, just over broke. And you're still excited, though, because you got a game plan. You got a plan. Not having a plan and going to a job every day, that would be the epitome of suck. I think that's a word. I almost said something else, but it's a family show. Hey, I want to talk about the cost of memories. The cost of memories. This is my last Monday in my home of the last 13 years. We built this home May 1st, 2004 is when we moved in. It's really the only childhood home that all of our kids have known. And it's been just a really awesome ride. You know, our daughter Madeline was not born in this particular home, or she wasn't brought home from the hospital here. It was another home that we lived in. But nonetheless, she was three when we moved in. So we've got Madeline. Laura was brought home from the hospital the summer of the year we moved in, August of 2004. Paige, 2005. And of course, Susan, a couple of years ago. So it's really the only home my kids have known since childhood, and we're leaving. Oh my God, we're ripping our children out of their childhood home. They've tried to play that card on us a couple of times, but we won't allow it. We managed to sell our primary residence and took a loss on it. Not a loss where we're going to have to write a check at closing, but I think we probably settled for maybe 10 to 12 grand less than what we could have got minimum. That's okay. It's an opportunity cost. I don't want to be paying a double mortgage, A. B, there's a cost to memories, which is the title of this show. Making memories, not making money. Making memories and making peace with not being owned by material things. A lot of you that have been following the show since the beginning of this year, you know, I saw the minimalism show on Netflix, and I was already in that vein, but that kind of just, it hit home with me that, hey, let's shed the stuff that we don't need. My wife's been a maniac on the Facebook marketplace. I mean, literally, there's money in our mailbox and on our porch almost hourly, if the very least daily. She sells furniture and our kids' clothes from when they were little, to Polly Pockets, to My Little Pony, to Madeline dolls, and that doesn't include the thousands of dollars of stuff we gave away to Goodwill. I think she just caught on to the Facebook marketplace. So my wife's kind of been the breadwinner of the family, I guess, over the past few weeks now, selling a bunch of this stuff for cash. If you don't sell on the Facebook marketplace, check it out if it's available near you, man. It's pretty awesome. Low key, not a lot of drama. You can obviously vet the people because they got a Facebook profile. And if you're not selling on the Facebook marketplace, you should really check that out. You know, I've mainly been an eBay guy, like I talked about a few months ago, Amazon, but never really gave the Facebook marketplace that much energy. If you're not putting stuff out there and you have an interest in selling just stuff sitting around, do that. It's pretty cool. I'm not kidding. I mean, a few $100, I'd say maybe $700-$800 in the past week. And I'm talking, guys, I mean, the biggest item that we sold were Pottery Barn shelves that we paid $1,100 for, sold them for $300. Because of why? Why would we sell something? First of all, it was 10 years ago we paid $1,100 for them or so. And secondly, it doesn't matter. Got $300, $300 more than we would have had in our pocket. Maybe we could have got $500. That's the whole premise of this whole thing. It starts with selling a home that's appraised at $380,000. And letting it go for $345,000 and moving into a home that's half the size. I mean, it's just not anymore, any longer about anything that's got to do with money. And until you get to that point, you're not free. You are just not free. And you know that. Here's the thing, though. You know you're not free until you get to that point, but there's something else that's pulling at you even harder that says, I need to have this. I got to have this. Well, I got a credit card with a $5,000 limit. What's another $500 on the card? Hey, how about going the other way with it? What? That's a $1,000 swing. If you would have charged something for $500, yet you took $500 and put it on the card or paid down another card that had the limit, that's a $1,000 swing that you don't realize. So making memories for you, you should be writing down not what can I buy, what can I acquire, what can I obtain, how much more stuff can I get, what kind of car can I have, all that stuff. You should be looking at what memory can I make this week. What would be cool? It's the first week of April 2017, and if you're from Cincinnati, Ohio, today is opening day for the Cincinnati Reds. That's always great memories. I mean, good Lord, it's the oldest baseball team in Major League Baseball. Opening day used to be in Cincinnati. The baseball season used to begin in our town up until a little while back, maybe 10 years ago. They started having games in Japan and then the Sunday before, and so it became kind of opening weekend. But nonetheless, memories. I remember my first opening day in 1998. I'd moved to Cincinnati in October of 97, and I had no idea what opening day in Cincinnati, Ohio was like on the first day of baseball season. It was insane. There's a parade, you know, it goes on through Finley Market, through downtown here. I mean, part of the town shuts down. It is a party. Now, for me, I was 29 years old at the time. Bring it on. Bring it on. Was engaged, wasn't even married at the time, no kids. Went to opening day, started at the bar at 9 in the morning, maybe. Got home at 11 at night, I'm guessing, somewhere along those lines. I got up the next day. I was like, what in the hell just happened? What is this opening day that you speak of? And why did I never know about it in Cincinnati, Ohio? Those are great memories. All the memories I have with my kids, none of it involves money. Not one part of it. Can I think? I mean, sure, we went to Disney World, but the memories was not good. Disney, the actual Disney World was the worst part of our trip, meaning Magic Kingdom, all of that. It's 8 billion people everywhere. Lines are outrageous. We got on like 3 rides with my older kids. Now, Susan, obviously, she was in heaven, and the entire trip was for her. But that's the memory. We could have brought her anywhere in Orlando and got a picture with her and Mickey Mouse or Cinderella. That's the point. It didn't cost us anything. It would not have cost us anything to get the same type of memories. It wasn't about going to actually Magic Kingdom. It was about having our whole family together on a trip, staying at a hotel, swimming in a pool, all of that stuff. That's the memories. So when I see these people, you know, mainly on Facebook and the internet, and even in my local town, they're buying stuff and buying stuff and buying stuff, and I'm sitting here selling stuff. It's just a different phase of life. You know, and here's the funny thing. I'm trying to put this in a way that it doesn't sound like I'm bragging. We're not hurting for our next meal. Okay, so it's not like we're sitting here wondering how we're going to pay the electric bill this month. But that's when you want to start living that life. Because you know how powerful it is to know that you could own something and instead of buying it, you're selling more stuff. You're paying down more debt. You're enjoying. See, being a slave to the lender, I can't think of anything worse. We released a few $100,000 of a primary mortgage and took on half of that. So right then and there, what I probably lost, probably shedded, released is always a good word, $170,000 of debt in the past week or so. Feels pretty damn good. I mean, let me tell you, that feels really good. I sold a rental property, an 8-unit rental property back in Pennsylvania that I bought in 2002. Now, keep in mind, it's a small town, Bradford, PA. And I originally bought that 8-unit for $170,000 in 2002. You know what I sold it for Friday? One business day ago, okay, just this past Friday, I sold it to a guy, $85,000 cash, closing in the next 30 days. $85,000. Why in the hell would I sell an 8-unit building that I paid $170,000 for, what, in 2002, 15 years ago? Why would I sell it for $85,000 cash? Because it's, for me, it needed a little bit of work. Okay, it needs a little bit, not a lot, maybe a little bit of work. Rental property in Bradford, PA does not, you know, improve unless you put just a ton of money into it. Long story there. It's you'll be lucky to get your money back out of it. But it served its purpose. Look, owning rental property, there's a lot of great advantages. If you've never looked into owning rental property, there's a lot of depreciation. It's a flow through on your schedule, on your tax return. So deductions flow right through your personal. A lot of great reasons to own rental property. I would highly recommend everybody own at least one in their life. It's to see the power of it. Because it's not just the income you earn from the rental property. There's way more to it. But I can't manage rental properties much longer from 500 miles away. Got a great property manager, an amazing property manager. But still, I have that part of me that's anchored back there in my hometown that I need to release. Need to release it. Need to move forward. Need to focus more on the windshield than the rearview mirror. Remember, you can run a lot faster and go a lot faster when you're looking forward versus looking behind you. All right. And so for me, it was worth taking $100,000 loss. Lost $100,000. Yep, sure did. That's a real dollar amount too. And paid a hell of a lot more than that in interest over the course of the 15-year note that just got paid off this past year. So I don't know what I paid. I don't even know on a $170,000 note. Maybe I paid $300,000 total payments, and I'm selling it for $85,000. There's an opportunity cost of money as well. Guys, you could get hit by a bus next week. Here you are worried about and thinking about, well, what am I going to do 15 years from now? You may not be alive 15 days from now, okay? So you really got to think about, what's the time value of money? Would I rather have $85,000 in 3 weeks, or would I rather hold off for twice that amount 2 years from now? Give me the $85,000 in 2 weeks. Do you know what you could do with $85,000 in the next 3 weeks? How you could, if you did it in a smart way, either reinvest that, build out your online empire, build out your brand, hire a mentor to show you how to do all of that stuff and build it out, put it in your marketing and advertising. You could turn that into 3, 4, 5, 6 times that amount in the next 6 months, yet you'd want to hold out 2 years. That's why I sold my house for probably $15,000 to $20,000 less than what I could have got if I held out, because I know I can make that money back in the next 30 days. Once you have that confidence, it's not arrogance, it's confidence, it's experience. It's just saying, hey, I can take, there's a time value to money. And once you understand that, it really is that bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Once you got that, let's say you got $10,000 in your hand right now, but you know if you held out, you could get 30 for what it is you're trying to sell. Take the $10,000, turn it into 30 way faster than you could have got had you held on to it. And that gives you confidence. And when you can do that, you rinse and repeat over and over and over again. And it builds that confidence. It builds that momentum. And it allows you to be a smart, shrewd business person. And you don't ever want to be controlled by a piece of real estate. You don't ever want to be controlled by a car. You don't ever want to be controlled by anything that's tangible. The only thing you need to focus on is the legacy and really what you're going to leave for your children's children, the inheritance you're going to leave for them, the example that you're going to leave for them. I'm just trying to think off. If my kid said, Dad, what do you want to leave? I'd say, I want to leave an example. It's the biggest thing I want to leave. I want you to know, A, that I stuck around for you. I didn't leave like my dad did. I stuck around to raise you kids. And I didn't say I stuck around. I'm madly in love with your mother right now. 19 years into marriage and it's thriving. Not that it hasn't had its hiccups. Not that she didn't want to put a salad fork right through my cranium about 8,000 times. Not that we haven't had our arguments. Not that there hasn't been major bumps in the road. But look, if you're too big of an arrogant ass that you can't work through issues that you have with your spouse, if you'd rather go down that divorce route simply because you'd have disagreements, then I got no time for you, man, because I am a prime example of a child who grew up without a dad because he was a huge ass, all right? Left my mom to raise 8 kids when she was 3 months old. Now, there's a forgiveness. I have forgiven him. Matter of fact, my dad turned 88 last week. He sent me a voicemail, talked to the guy like 3 times in my life. And I'm trying to set up an interview. I think I mentioned this a month ago. I'm setting up an interview with my dad on my podcast. We just got to get around to it. The guy's 88. He can't operate Skype, so that kind of rules that out. Got to get him on a conference call so I can record it, get the quality pretty good for you guys. But it's going to be us chatting it up. But anyway, I'm a product of that. I know what it's like. I know people give up on marriage way too quickly. Now, before you send me your emails and your tweets saying, Sam, you don't understand, he did this or she left me for another man. I understand. I'm not saying it's always the case. I'm saying the guy, let me just use guy because I'm not a girl, so I'm going to speak from my perspective. The guy who's spending a little too much time at the bar at happy hour. The guy who's going to the golf course and teeing it up just a few too many times. The guy who's got the holding the remote control to the TV in his hand instead of holding his wife's hand. The guy who would rather go out, grab a coffee by himself, hang out, listen to sports radio or listen to podcasts or anything, do everything by himself except with his wife. Look, if you don't pay attention to your wife, guys, she's going to start paying attention to other people and other things, and that's going to cause an extremely rocky relationship, all right? If you think you're all that and a bag of chips and that she would never trade you in, think again, man. Think again. If you don't think it's difficult being a mom, you're out of your mind. If you think going to that job where you get to go and socialize with your buddies and hang out and talk to the water cooler and go on your little junkets while she's home raising the kids, if you think that what you do is even half as hard as what she does, you're out of your mind. And you really need a course correction. I'm only telling you this from experience. I want my kids to understand that I not only work through those issues, that I was there for them. And I know that their life, the trajectory of their life is going to be immensely better than if I would have done what most guys do had they had. My wife and I have been through some really tough times, really trying times. You can't be married to somebody for 19 years and be together with someone for 21 and not have times when you literally want to kill each other. You know, not, I say literally, not really. Okay, I've never had thoughts of killing my wife. And I don't think she's had thoughts of killing me, although I could be wrong. But I've seen too many guys give up. Ah, she's a bitch. Ah, he's a... No, doesn't work that way. Be a man. Step up, man. Step up. You ever think to look in the mirror, there might be something wrong with you? Oh, no, impossible. She doesn't know. I do this and I do that and I do that. You start saying the word I enough, you've completely tuned out the fact that you're in a relationship. Again, I'm telling you everything, man. Just read the 5 love languages 2 years ago with my wife. I wanted to know what her love language was. All right. Mine is shocker recognition. Hers is services. She appreciates. What does that mean? Unloading the dishwasher, taking the kids to practice, being there, a lot of service time without ever asking for, oh, honey, did you know I unloaded the dishwasher? Just do it. Now you would think, what in the hell does unloading the dishwasher got to do when I want to be romantic with my wife? Hey, it has a lot to do with it, guys. That's the part I didn't understand. I'm like, honey, what does unloading the dishwasher got to do with us having a great relationship? She's like, everything, you moron. Everything. Just do it. Just do things around the house, the sweet little thing. You know, the stuff she's been telling me to do for 15 years. All of that. I want my kids to see me be a model partner for my wife. Now, I've flubbed the dub and screwed it up. As much as you could try to screw up a marriage, I've tried to screw it up. Believe me, I have tried. But my wife's always taken me back. And through all that, after 21 years of being together, our relationship has never been stronger. And I'm not just saying that. Look, I don't even need to say this stuff to you. I don't even need to do a podcast. Why the hell would I do a podcast airing all my dirty laundry? Because there's somebody out there right now, there's a guy driving in his car, needs to hear this. All right, you need to know that it's not just about you. You need to make memories, not only with yourself, but with your wife, not only with your buddies on the golf course, but with your wife in the kitchen unloading the dishwasher. My wife can still remember times that I vacuumed, cleaned up, unsolicited. Never had to ask me to do it. Things like that. Guys, I'm telling you, it makes a big difference. Remove your ego from the equation. Make memories with your family. If you're not married, if you don't have kids, then make memories with other people who need you, who need your gift. What's the gift? What's the gift that you've been given? How can you use that gift to bless other people? How can you use that gift to make a ton of money? It's okay. Look, I'm not saying don't go make money. I'm just saying don't get trapped like I did into that, thinking that you get all the confidence in the world. Oh, I had a big month. Oh, I spoke in Toronto with Tony Robbins and Pitbull and all. Yeah, that was great. But as I told you last week when I recorded the show, it was all right. I mean, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. It's the top 5 things I've ever done in my life professionally. Maybe even top 3. It could be the best if given me some time to reflect back on it. But at a different stage in my life now, as I'm hitting 50 years old, and I see what's important, raising a daughter from 1 pound to 26 pounds and seeing her live, I mean, all that stuff, keeping the main thing, it's all right. It's all right. I'm very proud of it. Hey, being an ex-stutter, you know, not having two nickels to rub together, getting eviction notices on my door, having the electric and the heat shut off, yeah, sure, my play, absolutely. Car repossessed. You know the story. But, I don't know, man. It was great memories, but I don't know. Going to Dairy Queen with my kids on a summer night, on a Wednesday, just because we can, at 5:30, looking at all the stressed out faces. I look to the left at the person in the turning lane when I'm in our car, and I see stressed on their phone texting. I think more people actually text now than they do drive while they're behind the wheel. I think driving is now just kind of a secondary thing. But going to Dairy Queen and seeing everybody all stressed out, seeing my kids and us just laughing it up, having a good time, what'd that cost me? $12 to feed 4 kids ice cream? Pretty cool, man. I take that over Toronto. I take it over the biggest, even my own event. By the way, I have 21 minutes into the show. You still listening? I'm having an event June 9th and 10th. Are you coming in Cincinnati? Will you be there? Or is it going to be something where you say, man, I got this in? No. You should move heaven and earth to be here. Ticket prices are going to go on sale soon. It's going to be very, very inexpensive. It's going to be 2 days total immersion with me. I'm going to cap the limit, though, at a very small amount of people because I want to be able to interact with people. We're going to cover a ton from creating momentum, mindset to money, everything in between, speaking, podcasting, setting up your funnels online, like I said, everything. I mean everything. Mindset, money, and everything in between. If you're a fan of the show, you should do whatever you got to do to be in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 9th and 10th. Just hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. Sam, I'll be there. I'll know what you're talking about. Sam, I'll be at your live event in Cincinnati. Show me. At Sam Crowley on Twitter. I want to see it from you. Make the commitment to be there. But that's going to be an amazing memory. That's going to be something that's going to stay with you and I for a long time. The photo that you and I are going to have together that we'll be able to keep, look at, refresh. Remember that? Summer 2017. Me and Sam Crowley, man, Cincinnati, Ohio. It's awesome. I can't wait. I want to see you there. All right? Just hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if you'll be at the live event June 9th and 10th. Listen, make memories. Memories don't cost anything. They don't have to cost a thing. Lose when you release. Remember, I left $100,000+ on the table with the eight-unit property. I'm cool with that. I'm good with it. Got no problem with that. I'm releasing that. I released $300,000+ of debt with our primary residence. I'm good with that. We're going to have the best summer we've ever had as a family. I want you to have the best summer you've ever had with your family. I want you to have the best year that you've ever had. All around how many memories you can create. Think of the best time. Think of the best times you had, those memories. How can you create something very similar to that or even better this year? What needs to happen? You need to take a few more days vacation. Do you need to release some debt? Do you need to earn some extra income? Do you need to ring up, call up some people, get the band back together again? Do you need to rediscover time with your kids? Do you need to rediscover time with your spouse? All of that. What needs to happen for this year to be the most memorable one on record for you? Oh, and what are you going to do? You have the best day ever? Are you going to have the best day ever? Are you going to have the best day ever?
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.